This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.
We live in a world full of cameras. Every day, millions of pictures and videos are taken on our phones, on our computers, everywhere. But it wasn't always this way. Over a century ago, pictures were a rare commodity, and film even more so. Hello, I'm Tommy Collins, and welcome to the first part of Picture Perfect, a three-part series looking at the life and legacy of the Horgan brothers, a trio of pioneering photographers and filmmakers from Youghal who captured much of the last century's history in East Cork and West Waterford. In this first episode, we look at the early days of the Horgan brothers, Tom, Jim and Phil, and how their interest in photography, their creativity and their enterprise helped them develop their hobby into a thriving photography business that would provide a collection of images and films that captured some of the remarkable history in East Cork and West Waterford. Whilst the Horgan brothers would become successful photographers, filmmakers, and exhibitors, their lives could have been one of poverty and destitution. Jim Horgan is the grandson of Jim Horgan Sr.
Most of the Horgan men didn't survive the famine very long. I think mostly heart problems. The famine weakened them and they all died off. But all the men died out except my great-grandfather, Ted Horgan. All the men were in trades. They were coachmakers, which is a beautiful trade. And he used to build some boats as well in that. They were leather workers, farriers, and Ted Horgan was a leather worker. Mostly he was making shoes and boots, but he'd make saddles and whatever. But he had a special kind of trade name for making thigh boots for cavalry officers, and he had a very good name in that. And just before he died, he had made one pair for a cavalry officer who was being transferred to India. So he wanted a pair of these Horgan boots before he went off. But when he died, people didn't go to banks in those days. They hid the money, you know. So he would have had like a sovereign, one coin, a small coin at that. Now, it wouldn't be a very big one. And he had it hidden away and he died. My grandfather and his brothers were about the age of 10 at that time. My great-grandmother was fairly desperate. The money ran out, whatever they had. They couldn't find this cavalry money, and they were down to their last meals. The last day, anyway, my grandfather went to school, no breakfast. Came back at lunchtime, no lunch. At tea time, they'd have to go to the poorhouse if something hadn't happened. So, came back after school, ran in the door, and my great-grandmother was at the fire. She didn't look up, so he knew. It was the poorhouse the following day. So he ran out the back door, and he fell. And when he fell, he saw in the grandfather's workshop a little cupboard under the workbench, a little secret place, and he found the sovereign. They were saved. Just, hours from the poorhouse. So the following day, my great-grandmother put the three boys into trade. She had to pay a shilling each, I think, to get them saved. She went into trade with a shoemaker called Delacour in the main street. And Delacour was delighted because he immediately took another order for Horgan boots and put the three boys working. But they couldn't do it because cavalry boots, the stitches had to be tiny. The holes were barely enough to get the needle through. So you had to have enormous, big, strong hands to pull the needle through. And the boys couldn't do it, but Delacour was entitled to take the order because he had Horgan's working on it. And they served out their time there as leather workers. It was as a hobby, really, that they came onto photography. Tom was the older boy. He was very go-ahead, you know, kind of experiment, learn and everything. He was kind of a businessman. Jim was my grandfather. He was more artistic. He used to go up to the church after work every day, copying the statues and copying the little crib figures and copying the paintings in the church. And Phil was kind of a bohemian, kind of a singer. But Tom got the idea. He saw in Merrick's a camera. It was a pinhole camera. And they were only young fellas. But he bought the pinhole camera and the developer, and he wanted to take a photograph. Now, they had just left school and they had their confirmation outfits on, because they were all confirmed and given their first communion so that they could leave school. So he wanted to take a photograph of themselves with the pinhole camera. And there was a big row amongst them. I think it's important to show what kind of people they were. A pinhole camera reverses everything. The right is on the left. The left is on the right because it goes through the pinhole. Top is on the bottom and bottom is on the top. So the lad said, when the thing was developed, would the left hand be on the right or the right hand be on the left? And they were arguing. They were going to put the confirmation badge on the wrong side so it would come out on the other side. And then it was upside down and back to front. So they were in a mess and they were arguing. And the mother said, look, pin the bloody thing in the middle. And so they took the photograph, pinned it in the middle and turned the photograph upside down. But Phil wouldn't agree. He thought it was going to reverse. So he put his left hand forward, making himself look left-handed so it would come out right-handed. And it didn't. They had a kind of scientific mind. They were experimenting and trying things out and trying to imagine how it worked. And they became quite good at it. And they bought more and more cameras as they got more money. And eventually they became professional at it. By 1892, I think, they had a shop in Brown Street, one half of which was shoemaking and the other half was photography. I said my grandmother would answer the counter and she said, do you want Mr. Hogan the shoemaker or Mr. Hogan the photographer? And she'd go in and tell him, they want the shoemaker, put on your leather apron. No, they want Mr. Hogan the photographer, put on your white coat and go out and answer the door. You know, in a little town like y'all, everybody knew everybody else. You'd wonder what all the all the pretense was about.
Photography in the late 19th and early 20th century was a far more prestigious affair than we consider it today.
It was one of the big inventions of the time. It would be a bit like computers today. It was the new thing, the big thing, and they were very good at it. It was like getting your portrait painted. It was that kind of prestige at the time, you know. And they were charging a lot, and they made a lot of money, an awful lot of money. But they had to work terribly hard. One of them would be taking photographs and another would be in the dark room, maybe 14 hours a day. You see, a negative has to be done in total darkness. You take a glass negative, you enclose it, you bring it into the dark room in total darkness. You have all your dishes laid out where you can feel them with your hand. And you put the glass negative in and store the water with your hand for counting exact seconds. So you give it 60 seconds then and put it into the water to wash it and then put it into the fixing solution, all in total darkness. And then you take it out and see, did it work or it didn't? And it mightn't, you know. So, but, you know, that would took 8 minutes in total darkness. And then developing the photograph could take up to an hour. So they were working huge long hours. But the demand was so great and they were so good at it that the business just took off. People came to have wedding photographs, as you would usually, family photographs. It was constantly developing from that to studio photographs. Now, the studio developed in all directions. It developed into a kind of an entertainment almost. So they had backdrops there. And then costumes developed as well. So if you had your photograph at the beach, they had beach costumes, which of course had sleeves and legs and so on. And they had nice carved chairs so you could have your photograph sitting on a chair. Sitting was great because if the person moved, some of the apertures were a bit slow. The slower it was, the less you had to focus it. So it was good to have. Anyway, sitting down was good. But they had lovely studio photographs.
The brothers' photography would also be an outlet for their tremendous creative abilities, particularly those of Jim Horgan Sr., as his granddaughter Joan remembers.
He would have done all the backdrops for the photography. Maybe make an aeroplane and people would sit into that, or they'd make the half moon and they'd sit into that and get their photograph taken. Just he would have done all that. But they were all very artistic. They did a lot of trick photography. I think they were always experimenting as well, because we can see that in our own photographs, where you'd have my grandmother or somebody sitting up to her dressing room mirror. You'd have the image continuing on forever and ever. They did that kind of thing. And they were lighthearted, and they were kind of out for fun as well. They weren't serious people, but serious in the right way, I suppose.
Mary McAuliffe is the granddaughter of Jim Horgan Sr.
And I remember one when I was very young. It was like a railing and a make-do of the lighthouse. So you could stand behind the railing with the lighthouse behind you. And there's a photograph at home, and I used to cry. I thought they had left me out at the lighthouse. They were authentic enough. They were good, the props. I mean, they had crazy ones as well, you know. They were very creative. In fact, I think they were unique in a lot of ways.
Photography wasn't an exact science as it is today. You had to take a chance with the aperture and with the exposure. And you had to guess the timing, and you had to guess the exposure. So a lot of the actual work was done in the darkroom. Trial and error, trying to, you'd have a negative and you'd make it work somehow. But Jim Horgan then was, he was an artist. So he used to touch up the negatives. He had a sort of a big box which he used to put his head and one arm into. And the box narrowed away, about a yard long, just long enough for his hand to get in with a pencil. And he would put the negative in the end of this box, put his head and hand in the other box and close it off and point the photograph to the light so he could see the negative, I should say. And he could touch up that negative with a charcoal pencil. So if you're doing a portrait, he could take out all the lines out of the face and make the person look 10 years younger. Or if there were mistakes in it, he could get rid of them. So he made people look very well.
Ladies and gentlemen, and particularly members of the Horgan family, friends and their extended family, you're very welcome to our library here, this beautiful building here in Youghal, for this very special historic occasion. When we think of history in Youghal, normally you think of maybe Tyne's Castle or the College Gardens or St. Mary's Collegiate Church. And I think it would be fair to say that the Horgan pictures and the Horgan collection wouldn't be maybe the first thing that comes to mind. But I'm sure on reflection and through the course of this evening, you'll begin to see that it is a very, very valuable part of Youghal's history and heritage. Now, before we get the proceedings underway...
The Horgan brothers' work in photography would result in a chronicle of life throughout East Cork and West Waterford of the late 19th and large parts of the 20th century. During the making of this programme, we exhibited some of their work to the public at Youghal Library.
What I remember about the photographic studio was having my confirmation photograph taken, coming in and white dress at that time, white shoes, the lot. And I still have it. And that's more than 60 years ago.
You still have the picture 60 years ago?
Oh, I still have the picture, yeah. And I have one of the postcards as well, taken of the Atlantic Hotel, Atlantic and Pacific, which is no longer there.
Watching the photos there, they look exceptionally nice in black and white, though, don't they? I lived in Friar Street myself. I was born and reared in Friar Street, across from the cinema. And I do remember a lot of the Horgan generation.
It's great to see the history and being preserved, I suppose, really, is the thing. It's all we have, really, our past into the future.
The Horgan brothers' photographs captured the life and times of Youghal that were far different from today. Patricia White is the granddaughter of Jim Horgan Sr.
They took photographs of every part of the town. They took from the Strand right out as far as where Crowley's Garage is now, say from Clifton. They took Loretto, Ashton Court as it was then. They took every aspect of the town. There's such a sense of history in each photo. For example, there's a photo of a lady who's selling cockles and mussels on the beach. She has four baskets of cockles and mussels, and she has, you know, the black shawl. We also have a photograph of my great-grandmother, and she's making yawl lace. We have the beautiful sailing ships. I think it must have been such a magnificent sight to see the ships in full sail, sailing out the harbour And we have a great photo of the Smith family and they're making ropes up at the town walls. I remember saying this to someone and they were saying, what do they need ropes for? And of course they needed ropes for the sailing ships and they needed ropes for boats and for the all the salmon yawls and everything in yawl. So Mary Ann Smith, who lives up at the top of Sarsfield Terrace, has told me her story. She has a great story on the making of the ropes. They paid, I think, a halfpenny in rent each time they made the ropes. So, and it was a family tradition. And she describes exactly how they make them. This photograph always makes me feel sad because in it there are some lovely little girls and they're dressed in beautiful little white pinnies and they've lovely hats on. And there are men in it and they're very dressed up. They've bowler hats or different types of hats. And then what I think is very sad is there's a little girl and she's standing on the just on the road, on the dirt road, and she has a dirty little sort of a grey looking dress on her and she's in bare feet. I just think it's so sad to see the difference between the children and the amount of poverty that must have been there at the time. I mean, we've come so far, we've got electricity, we've got motor cars, but then at the same time I suppose Yall is a bit deprived now still because Merrick's is gone, and which so we sort of come forward in one way and we've gone backwards in another. I have a photograph here of the servant of the Raja from Sarawak and he's presenting the replacement gates at Myrtle Grove in Yall. The gates on the photo had been acquired by one of the Blakes of Myrtle Grove. And the gates were found on the city dump somewhere in Borneo in Sarawak. The Raja, years later, decided to come to Yall to return the gates. So he brought replicas of the original gates to Yall in order to get the originals back. So the story goes that he was looking for two bodyguards when he came to Yall. So he decided that he'd take the two brothers, Jim and Phil, were to be the bodyguards. And the reason why they were to be bodyguards was that they were over 6 foot tall. So they were the two tallest men in Yall. And my aunt says that my grandfather must have been only about 16 at the time. But we have some lovely photographs. We have the servant of the Raja here. He has a pigtail down his back. So he definitely doesn't look as if he came from Yall. And we've another photograph where we have a very oriental looking man who's sitting cross-legged on the ground and he has a turban on his head. You know, there's so much history in them that in every photograph there's a story.
While studio photography would harness the brothers' industry and creativity, the advent of the postcard would have a huge influence on the brothers' business.
The postcard business arrived and the penny black stamp was in. So you could send a postcard for a penny. And the postcard business boomed at that time all of a sudden. It was very prestigious to send a postcard instead of a letter. Grandad's biggest earnings on the postcard side, he got on a coal boat, a barge, put his camera up on a coal barge and went to Capoquin. And in one day's work he made 100 guineas. So that was his biggest earnings ever, which was enormous at that time. He sold the copyrights to an English company. Well, you would have beautiful shots like Dromana, the Dromana Gorge, and Strankelly Castle, Temple Michael Castle, and Milana Abbey, and you'd have all the beautiful sights in the Blackwater. So £100 in one day was an enormous amount of money.
William Fraher is the curator at Waterford County Museum. The museum's archive contains over 6,000 images covering the history of County Waterford.
The Horgan brothers seem to be similar to photographers like David Brennan or Edmund Cunan Dungarvan. They have quite a variety. They had to think commercially as well, and they would have produced quite a few views of different aspects of Yall. Because with the advent of the train, you had lots and lots of people coming to the seaside, and similarly in Dungarvan, when the railway was established in the 1870s. So they wanted a postcard they could send to their relations, and these became very popular. So it was a good source of revenue for the photographers. The Horgans obviously were very interested in quite a few of the River Blackwater. For instance, there's one here of a steamship near Capoquin, and you can see the boat is packed with people. It's a paddle steamer, And this became very, very popular in the 1840s. Sir Richard Musgrave of Turin actually established the first steamboat specifically for visitors. And there was a succession of these boats which continued right up into the 1920s. And we do know that the Brennans took a few, the Brennans from Dungarvan. Edmund Keown, maybe a few again, not as many. They tended to stick within their own area. So probably the Horgan brothers would have taken more of the Blackwater because it was, you know, Youghal was so near. You could also have had Cork photographers coming to photograph as well. But probably the Horgans would have taken really the majority of the photographs for the Blackwater. You did have the national firms like the Lawrence in Dublin. Their collection is now in the National Photographic Archive. They would have gone all over Ireland, so they did take a whole set, but they tended to take them just in one go, a particular period, and maybe come back 20 years later and take another set, but that would be it. Whereas the local photographers would be on hand and, you know, update their images. And for instance, if there was a new steamboat, they would go out and photograph that, and that would then be published as the latest postcard for the tourists. So Horgans, I would say, probably were the photographers who took the majority of the pictures that were then turned into postcards for visitors.
During the making of this programme, we exhibited some of the Horgan brothers' work to the public at Youghal Library.
It's Youghal team, football team in 1940. I could name some of them. I know up at the top here is Mickey Loughlin. He lived in Friar Street. And coming down, you have Jez Healy here. Of course, a lot of people would know Jez. He was a great gymnastic and, you know, done a lot of PE, you know, exercise with people. Coming over, we've the late Johnny Kine, who was a lifelong friend of my dad's, neighbours for years in the Mall when they were growing up, and became neighbours next door to each other in 17 and 18 O'Reilly's Terrace, of course, Johnny's brother Joe up in Cork Hill. Then coming down here to the front, I know here in the front we've Mauler Sullivan, which was from Gallagher's Terrace. And I think the mascot here in the front would be his son, Den Sullivan, who lives down in Dominic Collins now. Stand to be correct in that. But over in the far corner here is my own dad, Mickey Roach. How handsome he was. Like, I wouldn't have remembered it back then. Like, you know, it was long before I was born. Like, we just can't forget the past. And I think it's lovely. I'd be very sentimental about things like that.
Marion O'Halloran is part of the senior management team at Youghal Library, who hold a number of images from the Horgan collection for viewing by the public.
What I thought about the exhibition was it was fantastic, again, that the people in town had an opportunity to come in, and you could see that people in the audience were quite animated, and, you know, people were coming forward and saying, oh yes, you know, that football team there, that's my father, or that's my... And you know, it was fascinating, and we had a lot of positive feedback in the library. Sometimes I think it's nice to kind of reignite the interest again and kind of revisit, maybe we'll say, the pictures again. And now there seems to be a new interest. People are coming in again, kind of saying, oh, look, you know, we want to look at the photographs again. And I suppose, really, I just thought it was so lovely, you know, seeing the clothes, you know, seeing the... And really what you could see, despite the clothes, despite maybe the change, the physical appearance of the streets or whatever, you know, I suppose what you kind of say is essentially, like, the spirit doesn't change, you know, like, you know, what makes people what they are. And you kind of say, like, even the pictures of children at play, like, even though they might have been in old-fashioned clothes or whatever, children, we'll say, 50 years ago are exactly the same as children now. I think that's why people find, you know, the whole archive so fascinating, because you're looking at people's lives. when you look at a small town like Yall that has produced, we'll say, people of the calibre of the original Horgans and what they achieved. You know, they were light years, if you'll pardon the pun, ahead of their time. The images they were able to create back in, you know, when photography was an unknown concept, like what they've achieved. And I think their descendants can be justifiably proud of what they've achieved. It was wonderful.
The Horgan brothers' work would not only cover East Cork, but also West Waterford. Gerry O'Mahony is a community photographer from Ardmore who viewed some of the Horgans' images of the West Waterford village.
I like the one looking down onto the beach, taken before the late 1950s or early 60s, because Porras Caravan Park isn't in it. And they didn't start operating until, I think, the late 50s or early 60s. But their farmyard is there, and most of that farmyard is still there. There's an extra house or two there, but that stands out in the middle of the photograph. Back towards the storm wall area in front of the church, there's a row of houses there which aren't there anymore, but some of the original walls are now painted and given the effect that there are houses. It's a mural, and the name of the little street where the houses are standing in this photograph is Chapel Row. And there's a nice little painted area on the front remaining walls of those houses now, but it's nice to see a photograph with the houses there. You can see the corner where Ardmore Adventures are now. Still looks nearly the same. There doesn't seem to be a car park as such where the car park is now. It just looks like an open area. There's only one or two houses out in Corra. Now there's about 15 or 20 of them that you could see from the same distance. No GAA pitch. That didn't arrive in that area until late 80s, I think. So it's 1940s, I'd say, going by the cars in the photograph. Late 30s, 1940s. It's a historical photograph in every sense. Be nice to overlay a shot taken from the exact same area now. To most people, it's just a photograph of half of it is taken up with green fields. But it tells you a lot about the area. It tells you 50 years ago there was no houses in Corra. There's no car park as we know it now. There's no sandcastle office lifeguard station. The houses that were there in the original Chapel Row, you get a sense of what they were like. Learn a lot from it. Somebody once wrote, and I can't remember who it is, but it kind of sticks in my head. A memory is a memory, but if you photograph a memory, everybody can see it. And we can all go to something, enjoy it, come back, tell our stories about it. But unless you have something to show that you were actually there, or something to prove that such a person was there, it's really only a memory. So really a photograph is a memory that's shared, and everybody can see it. You're letting the rest of the world know what we were like, what everybody was like in the past. And the people that are doing it nowadays, they're building up their own archives for those in the future that can have a look at it as well. So basically, it's creating memories.
The Horgan brothers' work in photography would not only chronicle much of the life in East Cork and West Waterford, but would also springboard them into the development of travelling shows, film, and eventually the historic Yall landmark, Horgan's Picture Palace. In the next part of Picture Perfect, we look at the brothers' move into film and their pioneering work during the early days of Irish cinema. Picture Perfect is a community radio Yall production. This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.